Thank you, ladies, for that song. How beautiful is the body of Christ. And Christ did say he was going to come and build his church, and we ought to be about that business. And so I'm so glad you're here this morning. I'm glad that you think that church is important enough for you to separate your time and your busy schedule to come out on a Sunday morning and meet with God's people in order to hear God's word. My text that I've chosen this morning is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 9. I'm going to read from there and read through verse 11, if you'll follow with me. I thought it was a great revival meeting. I was blessed by those brothers that graced us with their presence and their messages. I think it was of the Lord. I definitely saw the Spirit of God working in all three of those men, and even in our lives, in our congregation. And my prayer is that what happened this past week won't be just a memory, but it will have an effect on our lives going forward. And I know it did on me. I've been pondering some of the messages, and you might hear some of the points that were brought up because it has been on my heart. So I'd like to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 9. And the Bible says, "But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you. For ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more, that you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you." Now, there's a lot in this text, and we could spend a lifetime just talking about or just gathering the wisdom that we find in the Scriptures about loving one another and letting brotherly love continue. So much so that when Paul writes, he commends these brethren. He says, you know, I don't need to write you about this subject. However, I would encourage you to increase more and more. And so that is the idea, even though that theme of love is a topic throughout the Scriptures and we ought to do that, the exhortation is that we ought to increase more and more and not be satisfied with that which we've done previously, but to press on, and not only to press on, but to be zealously affected in a good thing and to increase in the love. And so it was a blessing to hear what a tremendous outpouring and expression of your love when you gave to these evangelists or these pastors that actually came and preached to us. What a blessing that is, that your love and your demonstration of love has increased and that you are to be commended. But that's not going to be my subject this morning. This morning I would like to take that little phrase in the bottom part of these verses where he says that you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. I think our modern vernacular, we would say something about this, mind your own business. Yeah, I think this is probably where we get the phrase from, do your own business or mind your own business. Sometimes we get too preoccupied what others are doing. And I think this was a portion of the message that was brought up during the revival meeting, that we need to be occupied about what we're doing, what the Lord has us to do, and not be so preoccupied about what others are doing. And I think that's really good advice. We do need to be about the Lord's business, and the Lord's business is people. And when he says he came to build his church, he was not talking about a building. And many people in the world have gotten focused on buildings that they forgot that what God and our Lord Jesus Christ is interested in is building lives through his church. And the church is the focus of God's business. And we ought to be about that, and we ought to be busy about the business of the Lord and do our own business, what God has commanded us. Look over in Proverbs in chapter 26, verse 17. I will advise you, I have 4 pages of notes. So we're going to try to weed through these as we go, and I'll try to weed some out. You don't want to leave anything out, but you don't want to take up all day to make one point. So in Proverbs chapter, amen, Amanda, I got that. Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 17, she's my clock keeper over there. She's watching me all the time, so I have to be on my toes. In Proverbs chapter 26, amen, Amanda, I got that. Okay. Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 17, he that passeth by and meddleth with strife belonging not to him is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. You know, it's really good advice just to mind your own business. I mean, you can get into some strife and some problems that aren't really, you could have avoided had you paid attention to your own business. You just kept your nose out of it, right? Now, I understand there's some points here that we need to realize. I'm not exactly sure, you know, what happens. I've grabbed a dog's ear a few times playing with them, and, you know, they really don't like that. I don't imagine you like it, somebody pulling on your ears either. And I saw a clip from somewhere, I don't know where, on YouTube, but it was a clip of somebody had a pet monkey, and the pet monkey, and they also had a cat, and they also had a dog, and that monkey was very fast. And not one like a chimpanzee, but one of them little fast monkeys. And, it'd go over there and pull the cat's ears, and that cat did not like that. And go over there and pull the dog's ears. The dog did not like that. But that monkey was quick. He could flip up on the back and then jump up, and it was amazing. But I got from that impression that dogs don't like you pulling on their ears. And they start growling and biting. And so when you meddle into other people's business, there is a danger that you're going to get caught up in it. And so just a very, very quickly, just a few points. There is a certain danger when you meddle with strife. I think that also, when it's none of your business, I think that's the idea where he says here in this, this proverb, meddleth with strife belonging not to him. When, in other words, it's not your business. You have no business, sticking your nose in these affairs, in this strife. And, you know, I really do feel for our police officers. Because it is their business, and they are called out to domestic violence where there is strife going on. And many times, the wife will call, or sometimes in our generation, the husband will call, my wife's beating me up, or whatever. And so the police have to respond. And they're caught in the middle of a family and domestic dispute, and they cannot win. If the husband is beating up on the wife, and they go to the rest, the husband, because he's hurting the woman, they just might get a frying pan upside their head, because now they've gotten involved, and it's okay for the wife to beat on the husband, or the husband to beat on the wife, but they don't want the police doing that. So, you know, but I would say that it is their business, and they do have to handle those affairs. Some strife is our business, and sometimes we do need to get involved just like the police do. Sometimes, and I'm going to give you a couple examples here. I can remember in Poland when we first got there, we went over there with just our suitcases, and we'd gotten into an empty apartment except for our suitcases, and we'd got some cardboard boxes and set up, and there was a thingamajob. There was a windowsill, but there was another thingamajob next to the windowsill that we could actually eat on. It was like a countertop, thank you. There was a countertop, and so we could actually have a place to eat, and I managed to get a table so I could get the computer set up so we could do our studies or whatnot. But the apartment was still pretty empty, and it was, you know, echoey. So you could, when you talked, you could hear the echoes, and we were on the fourth floor of the apartment, and we had studied Polish for about 1 month. So this was like in the middle of October of 1995. And that time, Poland had just come out of communism 6 years earlier. They were in the throes of democracy. They were just coming out of communism, and a lot of things was still communistic. And so our four children were there, and our youngest, Cassidy, come running into my bedroom, which was also my office at that time. And she said, "Daddy, the man is beating the woman." Well, we didn't have a television. We didn't have a radio. I had no idea what she's talking about. I went out into our living room there and looked around. And I said, "You know, honey, what are you?" "No, the man is beating the woman." I said, Cassidy, what are you talking about? The man, look, the man is beating the woman. And I'm looking, and finally I realized she's pointing out the window. So I went over to the window and looked out, and she said, look, the man is beating the woman. And sure enough, down at the bus stop, four stories down, down at the bus stop, right on the corner there, there was a man beating a woman. And there were other people standing around at the bus stop waiting for the bus, and they were not getting involved. I think they wrongly interpret Proverbs 26:17 here, but I think they should have gotten involved. And I saw the man, he hit the woman and she fell down, and then when she was trying to get up, he went and he kicked her, and I saw her teeth come out. And I must tell you, something came over me. Now, if you know me, I am not a fighter. I'm usually underweight, and everybody else has got more weight on me, and they're bigger and stronger. Pastor, and I don't like pain. I'm allergic to it. I don't want to get into any problems. Really, I don't want any strife. I got enough strife in my life. I don't want problems, but something came over me. And it was like an adrenaline rush that you would not believe. And I told little Cassidy, or Kasia, we called her in Polish. I said, Kasia, our next little neighbors fortunately spoke a little bit of English. I said, you go tell the neighbors to call the police. I'm going to go do something about this. I'm going to get involved. And I ran down four flights of stairs, and I ran out the back door. The back door was the opposite side of the building where the bus stop was. So I have got to run all the way down the stairs. And then I got to run out the back door. Now I've got to run all the way around the building. And, you know, you would think that something would come over me and my adrenaline would just dissipate and then I could go back home and not get involved. But it was still there. And I come around the building and he's still wailing on this woman. And I'm just running as fast as I go. I'm not even thinking what I'm going to do when I get there. I'm just going to do something. Well, I just ran and he was standing there and I didn't stop running. And boom, I just ran him over. And then my adrenaline and everything dissipated. And I thought, well, what am I going to do now? I don't speak Polish. What am I can't talk my way out of this thing. What am I going to do? I just thought, if he gets up, I'm in trouble. I better not let him get up. So I went over and I put my knee right in his chest as much as I could, and he had a tie on, and I grabbed his tie and I pulled it as tight as I could, and now I'm thinking, what am I going to do now? And I'm racking my brain trying to think of some Polish words. I did have a month of Polish, and so I had a few words I could not conjugate. I didn't know how to put them in the sentence yet, but had a few words. I knew the word no, and in Polish the word is nie. So I said to this man with my knee in his chest and my hand around his tie pulling it, I said, nie. And then I'm thinking, all right, how do you say the word beat? Well, I knew the word beat, and so I said that in Polish. In Polish, it's beach. Nie beach. So I said, nie beach. And then of course, this is all like compressed into time. You got to realize this is like in seconds of time. And I'm thinking, I said, nie beach. And then I'm thinking, what is the word for woman? Oh, yeah, kobieta. Nie beach kobieta. Nie beach kobieta. And I said, no hit the woman. No hit the woman. No hit the woman. And finally, that guy responds in perfect English. He says, sir, if you'll get off of me, I will not hit that woman anymore. I said, that's right, you better not. And so, you know, I'm thinking the police are going to show up. Surely they're going to get here by now. Surely they've called the police. I'm waiting. They ain't coming. And I'm still thinking, what am I going to do now? I do not want to be here. Well, the bus came and the lady got on the bus and so she's gone. And so, you know, I just kept on repeating, nie beach kobieta, nie beach kobieta. I said, it's not right for you to hit women. He was intoxicated. But the point is, I got involved. Sometimes we have to get involved, and it is our business to get involved. So don't take this as, oh, you know, we're just going to be an island. We're just going to avoid all people. We're not going to meddle in anything. I don't think we ought to meddle, and I don't think that was meddling. Meddling is more, and I wrote these definitions down, to meddle is to involve oneself in a matter without right or invitation, to interfere officiously and unwantedly. I learned a new word, officiously. Do you want to know what it means? I know you all are smart. You probably already know. Officiously, it means objectionably aggressive in offering one's unrequested and unwanted services. So, yeah, we're not to meddle in other people's strife, with the strife of others. It's not our business, and we should not be doing that when it's not our right. But we do have a right to protect women. Do you see the difference? I think it's our obligation, personally. At least I thought so that day. But look over in John in chapter 21, time is fleeting. And this is the text that was brought out. I don't know that this was the main emphasis of the message, but this was one of the verses that was used during the conference that was a blessing to me. In John chapter 21 and verse 22, Jesus just had this discussion with Peter. Do you love me? And Peter says, yes, Lord, I love you. You know that I love you. Yes, I love you. So in here, Jesus saith unto him, Because Peter asked him, he said, well, what about, and Jesus had told Peter to follow me or to feed my sheep. And so now Peter's all worried about John, the disciple that loved the Lord. He says, well, what about John? And Jesus responds here, Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? In other words, it's none of your business. Yeah. Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren that that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? And when I read this passage or heard this passage preached and went back and looked at it and pondered it, I thought to myself, my, what a thing here. They missed the point. They missed the point. I mean, Peter kind of missed the point. I think he got the point. I mean, Jesus told him the point. Follow thou me. That's what we ought to be about. We ought to be in the business of following the Lord Jesus Christ. That is our business. That is our responsibility. Each and every one of us ought to be following the Lord. But did you notice what these disciples remember? They remember Jesus said he wasn't going to die. But somehow they forgot he said, follow thou me. They got so preoccupied about, well, is John going to live and not die? What's going on? But did they miss the point? He said, follow me. And too many times we get hung up on things that really are not our business. And we get preoccupied with those things, and that therefore it becomes a hindrance in our object of our life, in our business. It becomes a hindrance, and it affects the things that we do. Amen. And it ends up like we're grabbing dog ears. And then we have problems. Your business, my friend, is to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I think this is true if people would get this in their hearts and minds, I think it'd go a long way in marriages. If you would do, you know, what does it say here? It says, do your own business. How many marriages, how many conflicts in marriage is about, well, my husband didn't, or my wife didn't. Doesn't the Bible say that the husband is supposed to do this? And doesn't the Bible say that the wife is supposed to do this? Yes, if you're the wife, take that to heart. If you're the husband, take that to heart. But if you're the wife, don't be talking about the husband. If you're the husband, don't be talking about the wife. Do your own business. Amen. And that will go a long way to preserve marriage if the husband would be about his business, his responsibilities, and too many marriages fall apart because the other to do their job. Amen. Why don't you do your job if you're a man? Love your wife as Christ loved the church, and shield that will take care of that situation. Because God didn't tell you to make your wife do what she's supposed to do. God told you to do what you're supposed to do. And too many times in conflict, the conflict boils down to the fact that nobody wants to do their own business. Amen. They want the other person to do their business. Amen. Well, why don't you get busy doing your business, and maybe that will take care of the situation. Amen. And that's why it's wise not to have just one party in a marital counseling session. You need to be both of them there so you can give them both advice, because when they're there, they're both going to be doing this, and then you're going to have to say, you do this, you do what your business is, and you do what your business is, regardless of whether they do theirs. Thank you for that. How about at a traffic stop? We're getting real here. I know I don't mean to pick on anybody, but isn't it true that when you get pulled over, yes, it is true, you get pulled over, the first thing you say is, what about them? They were going fast. Or what about the worst criminals? Don't you have anything else to do? Why are you picking on me? I was only doing 65 and a 50. I mean, I wasn't going that fast when I went through the stop sign. Why are you picking on me? What about them? Yeah? Amen. You see, the problem is it's a heart issue. We're not doing our business. And Paul said, and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. How about in school? Some of you teachers here this morning, you'll know this. What about Johnny? Johnny didn't do his homework. Or how come Johnny got to do that and I didn't get to do that? Well, what Johnny does or doesn't do is none of your business. I told you to do it, Peter. I told you to do it, Frank. I told you to do it, Paul. I told you to do it, Brent. Yeah? That's your business. Do what I told you to do. Don't worry about Johnny. How about at work? What about Mary? She's doing this or she's not doing that. Yeah? Wasn't that Martha's complaint? Hey, you know, what about, you know, I'm busy in here. Tell her to help me. What is she doing? You know, it'd go a long way to reduce strife at your work if you just be about your own business.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Just do what the boss told you to do.
Yes, sir.
Make sure you do your job. Don't worry about the other people. Paul said here, to do your own business, this is a command. But you know, people do meddle. And I think the idea here in John chapter 21, I think if anything, we ought to get these things out. I took some notes here that our main business is to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you agree with that? Then that needs to be our business. We need to keep the main thing. The main thing, as one old preacher said, to follow Christ. And what we've known about a math thing is a triangle, when the angles are proceeding upward and they're both going towards the same point, that if you do that, you're going to get closer and closer together. So if your brother has a goal and it's his business to follow Christ, and you have a responsibility to follow Christ, whether this be in a marriage, whether it be in a school building, whether it be in a church, wherever there are relationships, if you and your brother, or you and your wife, or you and your husband, or you and your school teacher, or you and whoever, if you would both follow Christ and make that your focus, then you're going to find that you're going to get closer and closer together over time. It was worth going to geography after all. I would say, I wrote this down, this was from a commentary, I believe it was Barnes, I don't remember which one, I was reading a lot of different ones. There are many sub-issues of religion of which vain and impertinent curiosity is exercised. And we're all curious. Well, what's that man doing? What's that brother doing? Or what's that sister doing? And Jesus here reproves that kind of attitude. Don't worry about them, worry about you. Keep your nose on your face and keep your eyes pointed. Follow Christ. That is your business. Follow Him. What another brother or another sister, what a wife or husband does or doesn't do is not your business. Your business is to follow Christ and to love Him. I think that we can gather from this that Jesus will take care of His elect. You don't need to worry about them. He's got that under control. He's got something for them to do, but that's not your business. You be about your business. Do your own business, as Paul stated. and that we should go forth and do whatever God tells us to do, no matter what type of persecution that may be. Maybe it will bring us death sooner than a brother, but that's irrelevant. We are to be about our Father's business. We should not worry about those things. Look in Numbers in chapter 11. I'll give you another example. What is it that motivates people to meddle and to no longer be preoccupied with their own business? They get busy about other people's business. And I forgot to read you a verse over in Peter. Peter says, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yeah? If you're going to suffer something, don't suffer by grabbing the dog's ears. Don't be stupid. Excuse me. Don't be dumb. Use a little bit of wisdom. That's why the Proverbs were written, to give you a little bit of knowledge and understanding and wisdom that you might avoid some things. You might avoid pain in your life. And so don't be a busybody. Amen. Get occupied in doing what the Lord has told you to do. Follow Him. And you'll avoid some difficulties in your life. Now Numbers chapter 11 and verse 25. And the Lord came down in a cloud unto him, Moses, and took of the spirit that was on him, Moses, and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. But there remained two of the men in the camp. The name of the one was Eldad, and the name of the other was Medad. And the spirit rested upon them, and they were of them that were written, but went not out unto the tabernacle, and they prophesied in the camp. And there ran a young man and told Moses, and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, my lord Moses, forbid them. And Moses said unto them, enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and the Lord would put his spirit upon them. Thank you, Moses. Moses said, young men, Joshua, don't you worry about it. Would to God all of God's people would prophesy. That would be great. Don't mind your own business. If the Spirit of God is on you, then prophesy. If not, well, don't. And don't be impeding those that are prophesying. We ought to be thankful that they're prophesying. And here is a clue as to why people meddle. And if I understood it right, it comes out in the name of envy. Why were they envious? It doesn't say jealous. It says envied. Do you envy for my sake? Wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? So what if another church is bigger than our church? Does it really matter? If we're doing the Lord's business, then it doesn't matter. So what if two men are preaching in the camp, they're prophesying, if they're preaching the gospel, if they're preaching truth, as Brother Stephen mentioned, if they're preaching the word of God, if they're exalting Christ, then what's the problem? Mark in chapter 9 and verse 38, we heard that this verse as well this week. John answered him and saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followeth not us. And we forbade him because he followeth not us. But Jesus said, forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is on our part. Do you believe that? That's important. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. It seems to me that Jesus is saying, mind your own business. They're doing it in the name of the Lord. Let them alone. That's the modern English version. So that you'll get it. Did I grasp the intent of what Jesus was saying? Time's up. Did I grasp what Jesus was saying here? He's saying, look, do your own work.
Yes. Amen.
Do your own business. If they're doing it in the name of the Lord, let them alone.
Amen.
Let them alone. We're not in competition. Too many times, it happens that people, that Christians, good, godly Christians, get caught up grabbing the dog's ears. Meddling in things. And I had a chance to talk with a couple of the preachers here, and I hope that you do realize that we're a little bit different around here. We are not the traditional church. I mean, we do have some peculiarities for some of the brethren coming into our church. The way that we dress, I mean, that's just, they see that immediately, and they're, you know, that's just a little bit different. Notice none of them mentioned that. None of them said anything about that. Not a word, not in the messages, and not to me, and I don't think any to these other brothers as well. But you got to know it was a little bit peculiar for them, because we are peculiar. Now, we're not doing things around here to be peculiar. We're doing things around here because we're doing our best to follow the Lord. And we saw some things in scriptures that we ought not to be occupied about the outward. We ought to be more concerned about the inward. And so we put emphasis on the heart and not the outward. But you got to understand that amongst the brethren, that's a little bit peculiar. Certainly in my experience, in my early life as a young Christian, there was a great emphasis on what you were wearing. In fact, if you came into the church without a tie, there was a rack room in the back that had a jacket for you, and they had a tie, and they would give it to you so you could wear a tie. You have to dress your best to come to the services. So there would be differences of opinion on what we're to do. And whether they're right or wrong, that's none of our business. We have to do what we see is right or wrong. I don't know if you understand, but our sign out there is a little bit peculiar. You know, we are not even non-denominational. We are sort of undenominational. We are sort of, let's just do it all in the name of the Lord. That's what the Bible says. That's the scriptural example. And so why do we have to have a sign out there that says we belong to XYZ denomination? We don't. Well, how are people going to know what you believe? Listen to what we preach. Or ask us. I mean, we're not shy about telling you what we believe. But doesn't the Bible say we're supposed to meet in the name where two or three are gathered in His name? He's going to be with us. Doesn't the Bible says we're to do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Listen, I'm not really concerned about what other people do. We're trying to do it the right way here, the best we can. And of course we're wrong somewhere. And if you could point out where we're wrong, we'll change it in the light of the scriptures. We're not going to change it just because you're meddling with dog's ears. But if you're showing us something from the scripture, you got to understand that we've already fought these battles for years. And we're not ignorant of these matters. And we've made decisions based on what we've seen in scripture and experience and trying to know the will of the Lord. And we made these types of decisions, but it has made us peculiar. And we're not being peculiar to be peculiar. That's not the intent. Oh, you just took that name off there so you get more people. What? I think if we put XYZ denomination out there, we'd pick up a whole lot more people. Yeah? Why don't you pass a plate? I guess we could. I mean, a lot of churches do. But we looked at the scriptures and we're trying to figure out what the principle is, and so we don't. And yet God bless us. Wow, what an offering. And not a plate was passed. See, God doesn't need a plate if He has your heart. And that is our emphasis, brethren. If we get your heart and we convince you to follow the Lord, everything else will fall in place. Well, I got three more pages, but I think you got the idea, right? Let me just close with just a couple verses, just to remind us, a couple thoughts. Paul said in 2 Corinthians in chapter 10, he said this, "We dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise." You know what that is all about? Well, what are they doing and what are we doing? Okay, they're doing that and we're doing this, and well, they do it this way and we do it this way, and what are they doing? They're comparing themselves among themselves. And what did he say? It's not wise. It's not wise. Don't do that. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Make sure you're doing the will of God and everything will pan out. Down in verse 15 of that same chapter, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly, to preach the gospel in regions beyond you and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand, but he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. I hope that it is your goal. It is certainly the goals of the elders of this church, is that we want to get the Lord's commendation and we are not looking for men's commendation. We are looking to stand at that day when we stand before Him, for Him to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, you did it according to my intentions." That would be a blessing. No matter what happens, how it shakes out in practicality in our lives while we're still on this planet, but when we stand before Him, and He said, "You got the point. I told you to follow me and you followed me. I'm thankful." That is what we're looking for. I hope that's what you're looking for. Paul said to do your own business. And I think it's abundantly clear our business is to follow the Lord. Amen. Our business is people. Sometimes we got to get involved. We should not be like the priest in Jericho, looking over at that man that is beat up and laying on the side of the road, and then we go to the other side. We should not be like the Levite, you know, just looking over it. We ought to be like the Samaritan, where we get involved where there's a need, because that is the Lord's business. Not meddling, but going about the Lord's business. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer.